Welcome to The Offer, the no sugar added approach to the talent triangle with an unfiltered view of employers, candidates, and recruiters. I am your host, Michael Glinter.
The Offer, unfiltered.
Episode 19, McDonald's to Millionaire. Today we are going to talk a little bit about what it takes to be successful. And I thought the best way to do this is to talk about a story about a man who started his career flipping burgers and ended up getting ready for retirement at the age of 43. And thought it was best to kind of hear what his best practices are, kind of what made him successful, and really, essentially, you know, what things that he put in place to help him get to where he is today. So I want to introduce who that person is. And, you know, this person's been asked many a times to tell his story, but he has not told the story. And so I decided today to tell my story. Yeah, me. Before we get started on today's podcast, I do want to make a special announcement. After much request and talking to many people, we are starting an inclusion series starting next Thursday. This inclusion series is all about bringing people together in the workplace, creating an environment where everybody feels that they're included, no matter what their race, sexual orientation, age, disability, really people of all walks of life and how they identify themselves and making sure that they're heard in the workplace. So please join me starting next Thursday for the inclusion series. Now let's talk a little bit about me. Several people have asked me what I've done in my career to get to where I'm at today. And I oftentimes don't want to talk about it because quite frankly, I don't think it's anything special. But then over and over again, people tell me, Mike, you're 43, you're getting ready to retire. People want to know, what exactly did you do? And I'm going to start by telling you that I did not inherit a fortune, that I didn't win the lottery, I didn't invest my money in a really good stock. I worked my butt off for 21 years. And it's really important, actually 25 years, it's really important to understand that things that I want to tell you about today, it all came from blood, sweat, and tears. It all came from me working my butt off in order to get to my goals. So let me paint the foundation. Growing up as a child, I was the younger of two boys. I was 18 months older than my brother. And like many times with younger siblings to older siblings or vice versa, one is the perfect child that everything they do, is they do it right. They do it perfect. There's no question about, you know, that they are, everything they do is like a perfection, where the other child is the runt. And I was the runt. I was the kid that everything I did was wrong. If something was broken in the house, I was blamed. If something was out of place, I was blamed. Any issues whatsoever in the household, I was the one that got the attention negatively. And my brother was the one that couldn't do anything wrong. So growing up, I was always really second to him. I you know, that's the way it was. So when I got old enough to get to start working, I thought, you know, if I'm going to get a job, I really just need to do something or be able to figure out a way that I could do better than him. But it never worked out. So I started when I was 16. I went to go get a job at McDonald's. My parents told me that in order for me to have a car, I would have to pay my own insurance. And in order for me to pay my insurance, I'd need to get a job. So I went to McDonald's. Got a job, and my first day was putting fries in the oil and bagging them. Now, I will tell you, when I went to work, my mindset was simple. Because my brother, you know, was always better than me in everything, and he never really had to try, I told myself that no matter what I did, whether it be sweeping the floors, you know, mopping the floors, making a burger, that I was going to do it better than him and better than anybody. I was going to do it so that better in every shape or fashion that anybody's ever seen. And so my mindset because of this whole situation was everything I do, I'm going to do it better, period. So if someone says, do this 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 steps, I'm going to throw those steps away, and I'm going to figure out a way to do it better than the five steps. That was my mindset. When I went in to start working, my mindset was, in order for me to beat my brother, in order for me to do better than my brother, I'm going to have to find a way to do everything better than what everybody else is doing. So I went to go work for McDonald's. 4.5 years later, I was the youngest salary supervisor to be promoted in the franchise's history. I was actually told that I was getting the job when I turned 18. And then the day I turned 18, I got the job. But they couldn't officially promote me until I turned 18 because of the liability. So at the age of 18, I was a manager within the store. By the time I was done, 4.5 years later, I was assistant manager at one of the busiest stores in the state. And throughout that 4.5 years, one of the biggest things that I can remember is my mentor, the person that really helped me, was Sandy Richards. Sandy was an amazing person. She worked for McDonald's for, gosh, 4 decades, I think. And, well, now, not back then. But she was somebody that mentored me and really drove me and helped me figure out life's path. How did I get to where I need to go? But most importantly, during the entire time I was at the McDonald's franchise, I constantly was looking at ways that I could do better than everybody else, being the fastest, being the quickest, being the most accurate. I was looking at analytics. I was looking at financials at the age of 18, looking at variances, productivity. How can I make those numbers better than what they are? Now, remember, this is back in 1994. This is before computers really came around. This is before we had all the analytics like put out on paper. I was calculating variances on a piece of paper with a pencil to figure out where we could do better in our operation to make more money. So my mindset was always, even from working as a burger flipper, how can I do this to perfection and how can I do this better than everybody else? This then dragged into after college. When I graduated college, I went to go work for a big company as an intern and then eventually landed a job with my current company, the Judge Group. I was lured into the Judge Group by my old boss, Bill Gladstone. And how I was lured in was he said, what's your biggest motivation? And I said, well, my biggest motivation is to beat my brother. My brother at the time was a CPA. He was working as a CFO, making six figures. And I had to do something, you know. He had an MBA, a CPA. I had a bachelor's degree. I had to figure out a way that I was going to be better than him and not be in his shadows for the rest of my life. I got approached by this company. Bill eventually was the last person I interviewed with. And he asked me, he says, what do you want to do in your life? What's motivating you? And I told him, I said, my motivation is I want to beat my brother. I'm tired of him always being the best and me being always the second best. And I said to him, I'm going to come into your company and I'm going to be number one. I'm going to break all the records and I'm going to do things that nobody else has done before. And I remember like this was yesterday. We were on the phone and he said to me, boss, good luck. And I thought to myself, wow, that was really not inspirational at all. He was basically telling me, yeah, go ahead, kid, not going to happen. So my mindset coming into my job in the same company that I've been with for 21 years, who blessed me with this opportunity, was I was going to make the most money that anybody ever made. I was going to do things that nobody ever has done before. So I started this position back in 1998, or 99, excuse me, and back then, we had basic computers, no email, no internet. It was really picking up the phone, making cold calls, hustling. And I can tell you, I was 100% commission. I had no base salary. Anything that I made, I split it with the company. But I saw opportunity there. I saw the fact that I'm going to come in here and do it better than anybody else. So my first day, I remember this like it was yesterday. My boss put me in front of my computer for the first time, gave me a phone and said to me, let me tell you how it's done. And I said, no. Don't tell me how it's done. Tell me what you want me to do and I'll tell you how I'm going to do it. And so she basically gave me a goal. She said, you're in the staffing business. Here's a job. Find a candidate. Put them together and make a deal happen. And I thought, okay, that's easy enough. Not so much. I've cold called, beat the phones up. I hustled. And at the end of the day, it worked. It started working. But I wasn't doing it everybody else's way. I was doing it my way. I was figuring out ways to do things before people even thought about how to do them. So, for instance, you know, back when the email first came out, it was a new thing for everybody. Nobody really knew what email was. We started getting used to just sending emails to people one at a time, blah, blah, blah. Well, one day I figured, you know, why can't I send 100 emails to one person at one time and not have to send them one at a time? And so I started mass emailing before mass emailing was even a word. I would open up a BCC spot in my email and then start plugging in all these email addresses to people in my BCC spot. And then on the to spot, I would put to myself. And so I was blind carbon copying hundreds of people at a time, and it worked. I was getting traction. I was getting activity. Just one of many things that I did differently than everybody else. But the constant theme of what I was doing was simple. Every time somebody gave me a job to do, every time somebody gave me a task to complete, I did one thing. I looked at it, saw how everybody else was doing it, saw what wasn't working and saw what was, and then figured out a way to do it better than everybody else. That was the constant theme. Over the last 21 years, let me say this. 9 months into my job, I became the number one recruiter in the company. For the last 21 years, I've been the number one recruiter in the company. And generally, I've broken every record. I have billed more than any person in our organization when it comes to perm. And the one thing that I'm very proud of is that I hold the top 10 best months in the company for the entire time I've been with the company since 2003. So the top 10 months. So done with my success. So how did I do it? That's the key. What things did I implement? And that's what I want to talk to you about today. That's what I want to motivate you with. Because at the age of 43, as I get ready to retire and kind of get into more of a nonprofit and philanthropic work, I think back to how blessed I was to be with a company that could give me the tools and abilities to actually succeed like I did and become a self-made millionaire. And I want to give those tools now to other people. And so I'm going to give you the steps. I'm going to tell you the things that I did. I'm going to tell you how I thought. I'm going to tell you the mindset. You are the one that has to really figure out how to implement it. So let's rewind. Number one, the most important thing that drove my success was, again, doing it my way, not doing it by a process or a procedure or a manual, but doing it my way, taking what was once done and figuring out a way to do it better. Many times we call that process and continuous improvement. Back in 1999, there was no such thing, but I was constantly finding ways to improve the process, make it more efficient, get more activity, get bigger results. And so everything I did, whether it be making French fries and hamburgers to selling people to companies, I was constantly trying to figure out ways, how can I do it differently than other people and get better results out of it in a faster fashion? And so that's the number one thing you have to think about. Anything you do, you should be thinking to yourself, I don't want to do it their way. I want to do it my way. How am I going to ultimately do it my way, where it's going to produce better for me and get better results? Number two, persistence. I will tell you, for 20 years, I started my day at 5 a.m. every day. I was always the first person in the office. I was always the first person on the phone. I was always the first person on email every single day. And I never stopped. Even when I had some of my best years ever, I kept the ball rolling. The most important thing to remember is once that wheel stops turning, it takes that much more effort to turn the wheel again. And so if you keep the wheel constantly moving, if you keep it constantly flowing, then you'll never have to build back up the momentum. So for 20 years, 5 a.m., I was the first person up, first person on email, first person doing everything. So that's, and I kept doing it. It was persistence. Once I hit a goal, I raised the bar. So number one, set goals. When you set goals long-term and you hit your goals, raise the goal even higher. Push the bar out even farther. Just because you meet a goal doesn't mean you stop. And that's another big mistake people make. They hit a goal and then they get comfortable. They take it easy. They put their legs up. They relax. No. And make a goal, set another goal, raise the bar even more, set another goal, raise the bar even more. I beat the number one biggest month in the company 13 times. Oh, of course, 10 of them were my records. But at the end of the day, I beat the record 13 times. Why? Because every time I beat it, I said to myself, I'm going to beat it again. Now I'm going to beat it again. So set goals. Set short and long-term goals, but make sure that every time you meet a goal, yeah, you can celebrate and check the box, but then raise the goal higher. Don't be afraid to make the goal even more difficult and make the goal even farther beyond what the expectations are even of your company. Do you know how many times my company said, you can relax now, you're good, you're doing great? Do you know how many times my boss said, you know, this is the best you'll ever do? And guess what? It wasn't. I did it better. I did it more. So make sure that you're persistent. Make sure you set your goals. Raise the goals every time you meet it. Work harder, but sometimes you got to work smarter. So people say, Mike, you got up at 5 a.m. You probably went to bed at 11 p.m. You slept at your office half the time. Not true at all. Actually, it's funny because people used to joke about the fact that I probably had a cot in my office. And actually, it was not true. What drove me was every day I start my day at 5 a.m., but I wasn't afraid to take a step back and detach and put my phone down and put my work away. You know, you have to have some kind of balance. The other thing I also was always looking at is how can I do things better, faster, but smarter? Not necessarily just hustling, but also doing it smarter. That's important. So don't just focus on, you know, the more and more and more I do, but focus on how you're doing it. Again, that goes back to process and continuous improvement. Time management. People say that I'm an expert at it. I teach classes on it. I will tell you, I've mastered, you know, managing my time. You know, I spend a lot of time in my email, and I have processes in place to keep my activity very fast and very quick and very responsive. My clients will tell you that they get baffled by the fact that I'll respond to their emails within seconds, and I'll do a process, like I'll schedule a phone interview within minutes, and they always want to know why, and I never tell them. But I'll tell you, there's processes that I put in place where I can respond quicker than anybody else, and that's just because how I handle my time management. How do I manage my desk? And so that's something I teach. I teach classes on a lot of things. That's one of the classes I teach. That's one of the sessions that I do one-on-ones with, is how do you manage your outlook where your outlook is not running you, but you're running your outlook. No matter what I did, I always realized that it's not a ladder, it's a stepladder. What that means is you can't just expect life to be about climbing up a ladder. Sometimes there's going to be times and moments where you're going to have to go horizontal before you go vertical. So it's extraordinarily important to realize that when you're working through a process or a problem or an issue, when you're trying to solve something that's come up that you don't know how to solve, you're not necessarily going to instantly figure out that problem. Sometimes you have to kind of work through it. Sometimes you have to kind of figure it out. And so it's really important to make sure that when you're looking at every situation that you understand that it's not just a situation where you're just going to be able to hit a light switch. Sometimes you've got to work through a situation. Sometimes you have to manage through sometimes you'll make mistakes. Sometimes you'll fail. Those are parts of the steps. That's why it's called a stepladder. So understand failure is okay. Understand mistakes are okay. As long as you're able to recover and keep climbing, that's all that matters. The people that don't do well are the people that fall off the ladder, period. Every time they make a mistake, they fall down all the way back to the beginning and they never climb far enough. You know, candidates, I love it when people tell me that they're stuck, their career, they can't get anywhere, you know, they seemingly can't, you know, make it past a certain level. But then when you look at their background, they change jobs constantly. And I ask the same question, why do you keep changing jobs? Well, because I can't grow within my current company, so I find other companies to grow with. But when you look back at their background, they've never actually grown. The reason why is they're treating their jobs like a ladder, not a stepladder, meaning they're not taking enough time in the roles that they're in to figure out what it's going to take to get them to that next level and then get them to that next level. Instead, they're climbing up this ladder 2, 3, 4 steps high with, you know, or 4 planks, I guess you could say, giving up because they don't feel like they can get any higher, jumping off the ladder, going to the next ladder, starting all over. That's not a solution to your problem. A solution to your problem is, okay, I'm in a company, I want to grow. What do I need to do to get to that next level? And what do I need to learn along the way? And that's where a lot of people make the mistakes. They change jobs thinking that's going to solve their growth problem when it really has to do with them self-development and being motivated to do self-development to grow their career. Always be the first to do stuff. Always be the first. That means always be looking for new technology, new processes, new ways of solving problems, and be the first person to do it those ways. Don't be the person that is always lagging, meaning the person that always does things. Don't be a follower. Let me rephrase that. When I say don't be a follower, being the first to do something is all about being the leader, being the person that's going to take you from point A to point B the fastest is about being the person that leads the charge. Don't be a follower who just follows everybody else and rides everybody's coattails. Because when you follow people and ride everybody's coattails, you'll never actually achieve greatness because you'll never actually be ahead of anybody. So it's all about being the first about doing something. Never accept no for an answer. Now, I know some of my bosses are probably going to say, Michael, wrong. And guess what? There's been many of arguments about that. But I got to tell you, I don't ask for permission. I ask for forgiveness. If someone tells me I can't do something, I do it anyways. If someone tells me it's impossible, I'll try anyways. I'll make it possible. I never take rejection seriously, and I always try to overcome every time someone says no. Now, it's gotten me in trouble, not going to lie. My company has hit my hand many a times. I probably was close to getting fired many a times. But at the end of the day, I still did it. I still pushed the envelope. Why? Because my theory was, if I was able to do something that they said I can't do or couldn't do and make it into a profitable idea for them, they're going to let me do it. And I did. Every time I hit those roadblocks where they said, no, you can't do that. No, you can't do it that way. I did it anyways. And guess what? I made them money. I made them oodles of money. And so they realized, okay, well, you know, we keep telling Michael he can't do it, but he's making us a lot of money. So what do we do here? Do we, you know, squash him, tell him he can't do it, and next thing you know, we're not making as much? Or do we let him do his thing because he knows what's going to be successful? And so I never take no for an answer. I always make sure to take risks. I never go on the side of being conservative. And so while you may get in trouble, and certainly don't get fired over this, always push your boundaries. Ask for forgiveness, not for permission. When you hit a setback, when you hit a roadblock, when you hit a ceiling, don't look at that as stopping you from progressing. Only look at that as a temporary setback. They will not prevent you to be successful. Those situations will not prevent you to be successful. Only you will prevent you from being successful. So when you hit a snag, when you hit a roadblock, when you hit a situation where there's nowhere else to go, figure out a way to do it. Because the person holding you back, the people that are holding you back, are not those people. It's you yourself. It's what you believe you can and cannot do and how you're going to get there. So I can tell you that anytime you hit a roadblock, anytime you hit a snag, anytime you hit an instance or a situation where you feel like there's no way for you to overcome it, look beyond the people around you that are telling you that it's impossible, that you can't do it, and figure it out. And have passion about it. You know, one of the things I could tell you that has also driven me over the years is the passion for what I do. It's the fire in my belly, right? So I love the way I help people. I love the way I connect with people. I love the way I touch people. That's why I'm doing this podcast. You've got to be passionate about what you're doing. And if what you're doing today isn't your passion, find your passion. Don't do a job just to have a job. You need to be passionate about what you do. Now, I'm going to have people, and this is going to happen. I'm going to have people say, well, Michael, you know, I'm a social worker in a school. I make $40,000 a year. I love what I do, but it doesn't pay. You know, so I'm doing my passion, but I'm not going to be a millionaire like you because that passion is not giving me anything other than the fulfillment that I am helping people. That's a narrow way of looking at it. A very close friend of mine was in a very similar situation. MBA, social worker in school, making $45,000, $50,000 a year. But that was it. He didn't see anywhere he could go beyond that. He loved what he did. He was excited about what he did. But at the end of the day, you can only make so much money working for the school system. And I told him, I said, listen, if you love what you do, if it's passionate, if it's something that drives you, great, do it. But find a way to do it where you can actually make more. And so he went out, he explored his options. And what did he do? He started doing private practice work. Then the private practice work where he was taking insurance turned into people paying cash. Now all his money comes in is all through cash. Now he's making six figures. What did he do differently? He didn't look at his situation where he's passionate about what he does as a roadblock to not making money. He figured out a way to do it where he could make more money. And so don't tell me that your passion means that you can't be successful in other ways. Don't tell me your passion means that you can't make more money and can't be more comfortable. That is only you that's holding you back. It's only you that's keeping you from taking that passion to another level. And so there are people every day that start businesses on their passion. Their passion originally was not making them any money. Their passion originally wasn't getting them anywhere other than, you know, at a set rate. But then when they figure out ways to generate more income by doing things that they loved, that's when the true happiness and joy of being successful, having the money, having the passion, having the purpose all came together. Lastly, remember who your customer is. I say that because if you don't think about who your customer is and you don't focus on servicing your customer, then you're never going to have people that are going to support you long term. The reason I've been so successful has absolutely nothing to do with me just hustling. It has to do with relationships that I built over 20 years. And those relationships were built because I knew who was paying my bills. I knew who my customers were, and I did everything I could to cater to my customer. Know who your customers are. Know who are the people that are actually going to help you grow your career. Know who the people are you're servicing who are actually going to be the people that are going to come back for more. The secret sauce to any business is not getting a customer. It's having a repeat customer. It's having somebody that comes over and over. I'll give you an example with this podcast. I love people that join my podcast for the first time. But what I really like is people that subscribe, because that means they're going to come every single time. That means that they're going to get a constant reminder because it's going to be dropped into their podcast that I have a new podcast. I don't want the one-timers only. I want the people that are going to come back for more. And so my goal then is to take my customer, which is you, the listener, and figure out what makes you guys tick. What's going to make you happy? What do you want to hear more about? And put that out there and put together a package or a product that'll get you to be more inspired to listen, to be more involved in listening, and to really connect with me on a personal level every single week. Those are the secret sauces. Those are some of the things that make success. And I can truly tell you after 20 years, it's been incredible. Now, you know, I've started segueing away from my business and spending more time working entrepreneurial, more time working one-on-one with people. I get hired every day to help people through their process. I've done seminars, I've done speeches, I've done group events all throughout the country, and they've always been focused on not just my success, but also how could other people be successful. And every day I talk to people that, you know, come to me because they need a way to figure it out. They need to know what the secret sauce is. They need to know what they could do better. And it inspires me to do that. It inspires me to help those people. I mean, I get it. You know, nobody wants to pay for a service. But guess what? If the service that you hire or you get is going to help you create a long-term effect that's going to help you be more successful, why wouldn't you do it? what would be your lack of desire to do that? Sometimes you have to invest in something to get something out of it. But at the end of the day, it's part of my passion. So find your passion. Figure out what your purpose is in life. Figure out what you want to do long term. How are you going to turn that and monetize it to make you money to feel comfortable and feel successful? Now, there are going to be people out there that say, Michael, success is not just about money. And I agree. Money makes it comfortable, but money doesn't create success. But if you have money, passion, purpose, and happiness all rolled into one, it creates for a much better future. So keep that in mind. Everything that you do in life, you should have a broader focus, but you should also have a mindset that if it's not going to help me reach my further goals in life, then what am I doing wrong? And then figure out what you need to do right. And I can tell you, if you take that thought process, you take that direction, and you have that persistence, and you have that energy towards it, you're going to be successful no matter what you do, and it's not going to take a lot of effort. It's not going to take for you to do anything other than have that passion. If you have any questions whatsoever about me, who I am, what I belong to, what I believe in, and how I've done it, reach out to me. You can always get me at michael@michaelglinter.com. You can hit me up on all my social media. I would encourage you to subscribe because every week I'm going to be coming out with new things, new ideas, new passions, new secret sauces, new ways to do things. And you're going to miss out. If you don't subscribe, you're going to miss out because there's going to be weeks you're just going to forget about it or just, you know, not realize that I put something out there. Subscribe. Listen. Do you know that podcasts are the easiest things to do because all you have to do is turn it on? You can do whatever you want and just listen to a podcast. So take the time, give me feedback, like me, send me to your friends, share me, do whatever you need to do to get the word out. At the end of the day, though, I have one thing that I want to do, and that is help people. And so anything that I could do to help you do better and help people make do better, send me an email, send me suggestions, send me topics you want to talk about. Let's do this adventure together. Let me have the opportunity to work with each and every one of you in a broader scope and then impassion other people in our business. Again, hit me up at michael@michaelglinter.com. I appreciate you listening to my story, my passion, and my purpose, and I will talk to you next time.